Crude oil futures prices closed lower today. Oil down $1.89 a barrel to $75.53 a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
And I'm Laura Lorson with Kansas Public Radio here in Lawrence. And the National Weather Service in Pleasant Hill has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for northeastern Miami County, southeastern Johnson County, and northwestern Cass County. This is in effect until 6:45 this evening. A severe thunderstorm located 7 miles west of Belton, moving to the west at 5 miles per hour. Notice I say it's moving to the west. That's a little unusual. 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts, penny-sized hail. Locations affected include Overland Park, Olathe, Leawood, Belton, Stanley, Bucyrus, and Stillwell. Again, that is a severe thunderstorm warning for portions of Miami, Johnson, and Cass counties until 6:45. The time is 6:06. This is KPR.
They say Dourif will either be charged with a crime and held in jail longer or not charged and released on Wednesday. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from KU Spencer Museum of Art, now showing the exhibition Inked Bodies, which highlights the diverse stories people tell through tattoos. Details at spencerart.ku.edu.
Coming up in our next half hour, we'll tell you about the Al-Aqsa hospital evacuation that has taken place over the last several hours. Talk about flooding in Vermont and a conversation with performer Lainey Wilson. She is a star of country music, just got mentioned on New Music Friday last week. A lot of people really excited about her new record called Whirlwind. We'll talk with her shortly here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Beautiful Music Violin Shop, offering student rentals of all violin family instruments for next semester and rehair and restoration of student and fine bows. More at beautifulmusicviolinshop.com.
A severe thunderstorm warning remains in effect until 6:45 for northeastern Miami, southeastern Johnson, and northwestern Cass counties. Severe thunderstorm about 7 miles east of Spring Hill, moving to the west. Again, that is unusual for us. Storms moving to the west at 5 miles per hour, 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts, penny-sized hail. Locations affected include Overland Park, Olathe, Leawood, Belton, Stanley, and Stillwell. Looks like we're getting ready to have some rain here in Lawrence. Might stay north of the city, kind of hard to tell. Still pretty warm here, 90 degrees on the KU campus in Lawrence, 93 in Emporia. The time is 6:20.
At Indeed.com/NPR. And from listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
You are listening to Kansas Public Radio, interrupting All Things Considered, to let you know of a new severe thunderstorm warning that has been issued by the National Weather Service. This one is for northeastern Wyandotte County, southwestern Clay, and southeastern Platte counties, also in effect until 6:45 tonight. So we now have active severe thunderstorm warnings in both Johnson and Wyandotte counties until 6:45. This latest one will affect Kansas City, Gladstone, Parkville, North Kansas City, Riverside, Avondale, Northmore, Houston Lake, Kansas City, downtown, Oakwood and Oaks, I-35 in Missouri between mile markers 5 and 11, I-29 between mile markers 0 and 4, and I-635 between mile markers 8 and 12. Again, this is a severe thunderstorm warning for northeastern Wyandotte County, portions of Clay and Platte counties as well. Affecting Kansas City, Gladstone, North Kansas City, Riverside, and more. 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts, quarter-sized hail. If you run into this storm, we suggest you take cover. Get inside a sturdy building. Do not try and ride it out outside. Severe thunderstorm warning till 6:45 for portions of Wyandotte and Johnson counties tonight. We now return you to All Things Considered, already in progress.
Wong, as he told it.
Indeed, tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Jay Schaefer will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Stay tuned. We have news headlines coming up. I will have an in-depth look at the weather. More thunderstorms popping up this afternoon here in these early evening hours. The time is 6:30.
Hi. The Dow gained 9 points. Tech-heavy NASDAQ added 29 points, up about 0.1%. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. First, we want to turn to the weather. A lot of these little thunderstorms, brief, intense, kind of popping up all over the place. And the National Weather Service has just issued a special weather statement for western Shawnee, northern Wabansee, Pottawatomie, and southwestern Jackson counties in Kansas through 7 o'clock tonight. Just about 5 or 10 minutes ago, looks like 8 minutes ago, emergency management reported strong thunderstorm outflow winds along a line extending from 3 miles west of Lillis to about 3 miles southeast of Bellevue. Movement is to the east at 30 miles per hour. Strong wind gusts of 50 to 55 miles per hour. Gusty winds could knock down tree limbs and blow around unsecured objects. Again, we did get a 55-mile-per-hour wind gust reported near Wamego with the outflow well ahead of any thunderstorm. So if you're in Wamego, hunker down. You can expect to see some very strong winds, possibly a thunderstorm coming through your area. They are expected to be strong. Again, wind gust, the primary threat. Locations affected include Wamego, Rossville, Alma, Westmoreland, Blaine, St. Mary's, Dover, Silver Lake, Onega, Maple Hill, McFarland, Paxico, Bellevue, Emmett, Louisville, Delia, Soldier, Havensville, Wheaton, and Willard. This includes I-70 between mile markers 324 and 352. Again, this is expected through 7 o'clock this evening. Thunderstorm activity moving through Shawnee, Wabansee, Pottawatomie, and southwestern Jackson counties. Again, that's through 7 o'clock tonight. We do still have a couple of severe thunderstorm warnings in effect until 6:45. We have one for northeastern Miami, southeastern Johnson, and northwestern Cass counties. This storm moving to the west at 5 miles per hour now. For a while, it was moving to the east. Locations affected include Overland Park, Olathe, Leawood, Belton, Stanley, and Stillwell. And we have a severe thunderstorm warning for northeastern Wyandotte County, southwestern Clay, and southeastern Platte counties as well. Also in effect until 6:45 tonight. 60-mile-an-hour wind gust, quarter-sized hail. This is for the Kansas City Metro, Gladstone, Parkville, North Kansas City, Riverside, Avondale, Northmore, Kansas City Downtown, Oakwood, and Oaks.
Support for NPR comes from this station.
We interrupt your broadcast of All Things Considered with another weather alert. A severe thunderstorm warning has now been issued for southwestern Johnson County. This is in effect until 7 o'clock tonight. This storm located near Gardner, it is moving to the northeast at 5 miles per hour. 60-mile-an-hour wind gust, quarter-sized hail. Hail damage is expected. Wind damage is possible. Locations affected include Olathe, Gardner, DeSoto, and Clearview City. Again, that is a severe thunderstorm warning for southwestern Johnson County until 7 p.m. If you're headed in that direction, maybe just wait it out a little bit. Olathe, Gardner, DeSoto, and Clearview City seeing 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts and quarter-sized hail. We also have a special weather statement still in effect for about another 15 minutes for portions of western Shawnee, northern Wabansee, Pottawatomie, and southwestern Jackson counties, also in effect till 7 p.m. Emergency management has reported 55-mile-an-hour wind gusts near Wamego. People in Wamego, Rossville, Alma, Westmoreland, Blaine, St. Mary's, Dover, Silver Lake, Onega, Maple Hill, McFarland, Paxico, Bellevue, Emmett, Louisville, Delia, Soldier, Havensville, Wheaton, and Willard should be aware of this complex of storms moving through the area. Not quite at severe levels, but definitely strong thunderstorms. They're right on the edge of being called severe. This includes I-70 between mile markers 324 and 352. We now return you to All Things Considered, already in progress.
More of Because of Human Caused.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
And you are listening to NPR News on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Laura Lorson with another weather update. We now have a severe thunderstorm warning for southwestern Johnson County and east central Kansas until 7 o'clock tonight. This storm near Gardner moving to the northeast at 5 miles per hour. If you are in Olathe, Gardner, DeSoto, or Clearview City, you could see 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts and quarter-sized hail. We also have a new severe thunderstorm warning for southeastern Platte County. That's in effect until 7:15 tonight. About 6 minutes ago, this storm was directly over Riverside, moving to the northwest at 15 miles per hour. Penny-sized hail with this storm, 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts. If you're in Kansas City, Parkville, Riverside, Weatherby Lake, Lake Waucomas, Farrellview, Platte Woods, Northmore, Kansas City International Airport, be aware, you're going to see some really strong wind and rain. It includes I-29 between mile markers 3 and 14, I-635 between mile markers 9 and 12, I-435 between mile markers 26 and 27, and between mile markers 34 and 38. We are also getting some rain in Lawrence, very heavy rain up around Lawrence Memorial Hospital. So if you need to go somewhere, maybe wait it out a little bit. That would be my strong suggestion. We also have a special weather statement in effect for about another 10 minutes for portions of Shawnee, northern Wabansee, Pottawatomie, and southwestern Jackson counties through 7 o'clock. Strong winds here as well, 55-mile-an-hour winds. No report of hail at this point. That doesn't mean it isn't there. Use caution wherever it is you have to go this afternoon.
When your old boat feels like an anchor around your wallet, KPR's vehicle donation program is here for you. We'll take your donated vehicle and use it to fund the programs you enjoy every day. Donate your boat, car, or motorcycle at kansaspublicradio.org.
Once again, a quick reminder, a couple of severe thunderstorm warnings in effect till 7 o'clock tonight for Johnson County, about 10 minutes from now, and until 7:15 this evening for southeastern Platte County. We now return you to All Things Considered, already in progress. It's a conversation with performer Lainey Wilson.
Writing songs, playing gigs, and
But the truth is, you got to use your middle finger.
We interrupt this broadcast of All Things Considered with another weather update from the National Weather Service. Strong thunderstorms will be moving through Jefferson, northeastern Shawnee, and Douglas counties through 7:45. A cluster of strong storms near Meriden, Lawrence, and Oskaloosa, moving to the northeast at 5 miles per hour. Wind gusts up to 50 miles per hour. Gusty winds could knock down small tree limbs, blow around unsecured objects. Locations affected include northeastern Topeka, Lawrence, Valley Falls, Oskaloosa, Tecumseh, Eudora, Perry, McLouth, Meriden, Ozaukee, Nortonville, Lecompton, Clinton, Winchester, Lone Star, Pleasant Grove, Vinland, Williamstown, Perry Lake, and Grantville. This includes the Kansas Turnpike between mile markers 183 and 205. In the meantime, we do still have a severe thunderstorm warning for another few minutes for portions of Johnson County. I'll be back in a few minutes with another quick update. We now return you to All Things Considered.
And I have more coming
to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the station. And from USPS, dedicated to providing businesses with shipping options. Working to help businesses avoid shipping challenges with USPS Ground Advantage. Learn more at usps.com/advantage. From the NPR Wine Club, bringing people wines inspired by NPR shows. Whether purchasing a few bottles or joining the club, every purchase supports NPR. Available to adults 21 or older. NPRWineClub.org. From Fisher Investments, as a fiduciary, Fisher Investments is obligated to act in their clients' best interest. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. And from the sustaining members of this NPR station.
Dungeons & Dragons turns 50 this year. NPR critic Glenn Weldon talks about the early days of playing D&D. That's tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition. Jay Schaefer will be your local host. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KAND and KAND HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Well, the weather's been misbehaving a little bit this afternoon. Strong thunderstorms will affect Jefferson, northeastern Shawnee, and Douglas counties through 7:45 tonight. Doppler radar tracking a cluster of strong thunderstorms near Meriden, Lawrence, and Oskaloosa, all moving to the northeast at 5 miles per hour. We have a couple of other severe weather statements which are expiring at this hour, which I suppose is some good news. We do still have a severe thunderstorm warning for about another 15 minutes for East Central Platte County. That includes Kansas City and the Kansas City International Airport, Wetherby Lake, Lake Wacomas, Platte Woods. We now have a brand new severe thunderstorm warning for northeastern Platte County till 7:30 tonight. This storm located over Farrellview near Wetherby Lake. 60-mile-an-hour winds, penny-sized hail. Stay safe. Stay tuned to KPR. We have classical music with Destiny coming up in just a moment. The time is 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Palestinian officials say the latest Israeli airstrikes in Gaza have killed at least 18 people, including 8 children. The rise in the death toll comes as Israeli military officials say they rescued a hostage alive who'd been held in Gaza since being kidnapped from Israel October 7th. More from NPR's Kerry Kahn.
According to Israel's military, 52-year-old Fahan Al-Khali was rescued from a tunnel in southern Gaza by special forces in what was described as a, quote, complex operation. Officials did not give any further details, citing security concerns. Al-Khali is a member of Israel's Bedouin Arabic-speaking minority. He worked as a security guard at a communal farm attacked by Hamas militants on October 7th. He was kidnapped along with about 250 others by Hamas. According to Israel, more than 100 hostages remain in Gaza. Many, though, are believed to be dead. The rescue comes as Israeli military assaults intensified in central Gaza, prompting near-daily evacuation orders. Kerry Kahn, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
The arrest in France of Telegram CEO Pavel Durov is being celebrated by child safety advocates in the U.S. As NPR's Bobby Allen explains, authorities in Paris are questioning the founder of the popular messaging service over the spread of child abuse content.
French authorities have arrested Russian-born tech executive Pavel Durov. It's part of an investigation examining whether Durov has allowed illegal activity to flourish on the app. For years, safety advocates have criticized Telegram for not taking action against illicit behavior. Benjamin Bull is with the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. It's a nonprofit that has been fighting against CSAM, that's child sexual abuse material. Bull says Telegram is the number one offender.
It's become a sandbox for child pornographers, pedophiles, groomers that buy, sell, and trade CSAM on its platform. There seems to be zero moderation, zero regulation.
Telegram says Durov should not be held criminally responsible for those who abuse the platform. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
Weight loss drugs are so popular, pharmacies are often out of stock, but not all insurance plans cover them. NPR's Sydney Lupkin reports Eli Lilly, which makes the weight loss drug Zepbound, is offering some patients a cheaper version.
Eli Lilly will sell single-dose vials of its popular weight loss drug Zepbound for half the regular price or less. The discounts are for people who already have a prescription and are not using their insurance to pay. They can get the cheaper Zepbound directly from Eli Lilly through the drug company's online pharmacy. The company says it will help patients access Zepbound if their health insurance plans don't cover Zepbound or they choose to forgo their insurance for some other reason. The introduction of this cheaper version of the brand name drug seems to compete with online pharmacies and telehealth companies offering compounded copycats for a fraction of the regular price. Sydney Lupkin, NPR News.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 9 points. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Capital One, offering their premium travel card Venture X. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate August 27th. Giant spiders crawl around the walls of an ancient city on Mars. And if that doesn't sound like the plot of a bad movie, then what does? It turns out, though, that this plot is true, in a way. The city consists of walls of volcanic rock or hardened sand, and the spiders are explosions of dark dust from below the surface. The region is called Inca City. It was discovered in 1972 in pictures from a Mars orbiter. It's a grid of intersecting lines that resembles the outline of an ancient Incan city. The walls are miles long and hundreds of feet tall. Scientists aren't sure what created the lines. They could be hardened sand dunes. The most recent idea says they're volcanic rock. Inca City may lie inside an old impact crater. Molten rock could have bubbled up through cracks in the crater floor. The floor was covered up, but the Martian winds have swept it clean, exposing the ridges. Inca City is near the edge of the southern polar ice cap. Frozen carbon dioxide covers the region in winter. In spring, it vaporizes. Carbon dioxide a few feet below the surface can vaporize first, blowing holes in the ice above it. Dark dust in the plumes then settles to the surface, forming spiders around the walls of Inca City. Look for Mars before and during dawn now. It looks like a bright orange star. Tomorrow, it's to the upper right of the crescent moon. The brilliant planet Jupiter stands above them. You can find out how to subscribe to our daily program at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Support for Stardate on KPR comes from Cromwell Environmental, providing solutions for mold, asbestos, and other indoor environmental quality issues since 1982 for clients ranging from private homeowners and realtors to corporations. More info is at cromwellenvironmental.com. Well, it's the dog days of summer here on KPR. Hi there. I am your host, Destiny, and that was Gershwin's Walking the Dog Promenade with Eric Kunzel and the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra. This hour inspired by one of my favorite listeners, Jan. Music about dogs. Yes, indeed. Well, as much as I can find, of course, and kind of in a way thinking that it's the dog days of summer. I thought that was a great idea. So we are going to be dealing with your favorite furry creatures at around 7:40. You are going to learn the name of Beethoven's dog. Yes, I'm not talking about the movie. He actually had a dog with a name. He did. You know who else had a dog? Elgar. In fact, this is really interesting. Elgar did not have dogs while his wife was alive. And then when she passed, he adopted Marco and Mina. And apparently, when he would travel, he would call and send them letters. Yes, the dogs' letters when he was away. I think that's very sweet. So as a tribute to Elgar this evening, we are going to listen to his Enigma variations. They are beautiful. This is with Andrew Linton and the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra right now on KPR. Bulgar's Enigma Variations here on KPR with Andrew Litton and the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. Elgar, a dog lover, a tribute to him and to his doggies, Marco and Mina. Little dogs are very cute. At around 7:55, I have a little dog waltz for you. I wonder if you can guess who it's by. It's rather famous. And there's a way you can become famous to us here at KPR. You can help sustain us. Your $10 or $15 a month might seem small, but it makes a huge difference to us because we can count on it. It's a sustaining monthly gift. That combined with those of your fellow members all adds up to a big impact. Please donate now at kansaspublicradio.org. And thank you so much. All right. I promised you that I would tell you about Beethoven's dog, not the movie, but the dog that Beethoven actually owned. Yes, I read this. I have no idea how to pronounce this. If it's the French version, if it's the Spanish version, I will spell it. G-I-G-O-N-S. I don't know if it's Gigons or who knows. So if any of you know how to pronounce the name of Beethoven's dog, I would be very curious. And in honor of this tribute, well, I don't know that people know about Beethoven's dog, so I thought I would try to find something by Beethoven that maybe you don't know either. And I found this really interesting quintet for oboe, three horns, and bassoon. So let's enjoy it together right now on KPR with the Europe Wind Soloists.
Thank you.
Beethoven's Quintet for Oboe, Three Horns, and Bassoon here on KPR with the Europe Wind Soloists. A tribute to Beethoven's dog, Gigon. I have no idea if I'm saying that correctly, but it sounds fancy. This is an hour for you dog lovers for the dog days of summer. And well, next hour is an hour for me. I'm kidding. And you too, hopefully, but you're going to have to guess. Oh, gee, I wonder what animal it'll be about. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Midwest Trust Center at Johnson County Community College, featuring the Opus 76 Quartet, Christmas with the Celts, and more this season. Single tickets available at jccc.edu/Midwest Trust Center and the Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Info at greenladylounge.com. Yes, thank you to our great sponsors. They allow me to have funny hours about animal themes. So coming up right now by Chopin, the shortest waltz of all time, the Minute Waltz. And then NPR News, right here on KPR.
Our job as journalists is to check the facts and then check them again, to cite our sources and ask the tough questions that need answering.
And unfortunately, I'm going to have to go back to my first question. I still don't think I've heard an answer here. The presidential election.
What is Congress willing to do?
Is the U.S. doing everything it can?
I'm Leila Falden from NPR, where independent public service journalism is what we do. This is NPR.
It's Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Lawrence Community Orchestra, founded in 1972. This ensemble provides local musicians the opportunity to perform in a wide array of concert settings. Directed by Dr. Rachel Dirks. Details at lawrenceorchestra.org. Support for news on KPR comes from Cromwell Environmental, serving Kansas and Missouri customers since 1982, offering testing and solutions for mold, lead, and asbestos problems. More info at cromwellenvironmental.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Trump campaign staffers had an altercation with Arlington National Cemetery officials during a visit Monday. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports political activity is illegal on cemetery grounds.
Former President Trump was attending a ceremony for troops killed in the Abbey Gate bombing 3 years ago in Afghanistan. Arlington Cemetery officials say they made clear in advance no outside photographer would be allowed in Section 60 where casualties from Afghanistan are buried. A source with knowledge of the event said when a cemetery official tried to prevent Trump campaign staffers from filming there, campaign staff verbally abused and pushed the official aside. Cemetery officials confirmed there was an incident and said a report was filed. The Trump campaign called the claims defamatory and said, quote, for whatever reason, an unnamed individual clearly suffering from a mental health episode decided to physically block members of President Trump's team during a very solemn ceremony. Quill Lawrence, NPR News.
Prosecutors have filed a superseding indictment in the federal criminal case against Donald Trump after the Supreme Court granted the former president substantial immunity. A spokesman for special counsel Jack Smith says the evidence was presented to a new grand jury. The case accuses then-President Trump of leading a conspiracy to overturn the 2020 election and disenfranchise millions of voters. Trump has denied the charges. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has hit another snag in trying to get his name off this November's presidential ballots. election commissioners in Wisconsin have approved a fall ballot that includes Kennedy, who effectively ended his independent presidential bid last week. Chuck Kernbach of member station WWM has more.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says he's trying to remove his name from the presidential ballot in 10 battleground states where he says his presence would be a spoiler. He says he wants voters to back Republican Donald Trump in those states. But in the swing state of Wisconsin, Elections Commission Chairperson Ann Jacobs, a Democrat, told the panel state law is clear about candidates in good standing having to stay on the ballot.
He filed the nomination papers. He appears to qualify. The only way he gets to not be on the ballot is to up and die, which I'm assuming he has no plans of doing.
After a Republican motion to remove Kennedy failed on a tie vote, the bipartisan commission voted 5-1 to keep Kennedy on the Wisconsin ballot. For NPR News, I'm Chuck Kornbach in Milwaukee.
Consumers are feeling a bit better this month. The business research group, the Conference Board, says its Consumer Confidence Index was up nearly 2 points. The index measures both Americans' assessment of current economic conditions and their outlook over the next 6 months. Confidence on the part of consumers is closely watched by economists. That's because consumer spending drives roughly 2/3 of overall U.S. economic activity. Stocks gained ground on Wall Street. The Dow was up 9 points. The Nasdaq rose 29 points. The S&P 500 climbed 8 points. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from the Cy Sims Foundation since 1985, supporting advances in science, education, and the arts towards a fairer, more just, and civil society. More info at cysimsfoundation.org. This is Kansas Public Radio. Wonder if you can guess what animal that music was about here on KPR. Hello there. I am your host, Destiny, and I am a cat lover. And that was one of my favorite things to program for you of all time, Leroy Anderson's The Waltzing Cat with Frederick Fennell and the Boston Pops Orchestra. I love it. Love it, love it. And I hope you do too. Last hour was our dog-inspired hour, thanks to a listener, Jan. And while I know many of you out there love cats just as much as I do, right? Yes. So at around 8:40, we're going to hear from a composer who adored cats and just, well, had them all around himself. In the very, very beginning, when I first started at KPR, I did a cat-themed hour. So I wonder if you remember. It's been a while. Coming up right now, something by a composer that, well, was known to act like a cat. Yes, Mozart. You see, we have these letters where people write things down that occur in history, and apparently Mozart at opera rehearsals would get bored and jump on tables and start meowing like a cat. It's very interesting. I really hope the story is true. We are going to listen to his Sinfonia Concertante right now. It's for violin and viola, and it's quite magnificent. It's with the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, with Todd Phillips on violin and Maureen Gallagher on viola, right now on KPR.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mozart's Sinfonia Concertante here on KPR with the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, Todd Phillips on violin, Maureen Gallagher on viola. I hope you liked it. This is an hour of cat lovers. And Mozart, not only did he like cats, he apparently acted like one. I opened with Leroy Anderson's The Waltzing Cat, and I've got something else to close the hour, sort of sandwich it, another Leroy Anderson that has the word cat in it. That's your biggest hint. Good luck in figuring that one out. Before I tell you about our next composer who also loved cats, I would just like to remind you that it has been said that sound bites and political ads determine elections. Well, on Kansas Public Radio, you hear more than sound bites. You hear the background and context, thoughtful reporting, analysis, and insightful commentary. KPR provides the info you use to decide how to cast your ballot. Go to kansaspublicradio.org to pledge your support for the news that you depend on. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 89.9 Atchison. Up next is Ravel's Rhapsody Espanol, and Ravel apparently had quite a few kitty cats that were all over his scores when he was composing. So I have to say that these cats must have been very, very intriguing to inspire this music. Let's enjoy it together right now on KPR. It's with Bernard Haitink and the Boston Symphony. Ravel's Rhapsody Espanol. Ravel's Rhapsody Espanol here on KPR with Bernard Haitink conducting the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Ravel was a fellow cat lover, like all of you out there who love cats, and like me, your dear old host Destiny, who absolutely is obsessed with kitty cats. Oh, they're so great. What did you think of this hour, dear listeners? Last hour, it was the dog days, music and dogs, and this hour is music and cats. I'd be curious to know what you think. You can always reach out to the station at kansaspublicradio.org or find me directly online at destinyviolin.com. I love hearing from you. I love trying to program things that will hopefully make you smile. Speaking of you listeners, as a KPR listener, you can leave an inspired and lasting gift to our community, this entire listening community, by making a gift through your will. For more info, talk with your legal or financial advisor, or you can email us at legacy@kansaspublicradio.org. And thank you. That really, really helps us. All right. The best thing I could come up with about cats was jazz pizzicato cat. The word cat is in it. I did this last time, I think, and it was just such a terrible joke. But jazz pizzicato is not terrible. It's amazing. Pizzicato is where you pluck the string of the instrument. So I hope you enjoy it right now on KPR. Leroy Anderson's Jazz Pizzicato here on KPR. I hope you enjoyed this kitty cat themed hour. I'm back tomorrow. NPR News is up next on KPR.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep with NPR News. Any good news organization should bring you points of view that you agree with and points of view that you don't. Facts you approve and facts that make you uncomfortable. Our job is to bring you the full picture in context so you can decide. This is NPR.
It's Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m., info@greenladylounge.com, and the Blue Collar Press. Blue Collar Press has been helping businesses, musicians, and artists, big and small, turn ideas into promo merchandise for 20 years. For more information, visit bluecollarpress.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Biden says his administration will defend a program aimed at helping the nearly 500,000 unauthorized migrants married to U.S. citizens. The Keeping Families Together initiative was temporarily halted by a federal judge in Texas. NPR's Sergio Martinez Beltran is more.
In a statement, Biden calls Monday's ruling wrong and says that America, quote, is not a country that tears families apart. His Keeping Families Together program allows migrants who are in the U.S. illegally but have lived in the country for at least 10 years and who are married to a U.S. citizen to apply for legal status without having to leave the U.S. Those who qualify will be shielded from deportation, could get a work permit, and eventually apply for citizenship. But 16 Republican-led states challenged the program last week, claiming it was unlawful. Monday's ruling means the Biden administration can continue accepting applications, but for the next 14 days can take no further action. Sergio Martinez Beltran, NPR News, Austin.
Former President Donald Trump and groups aligned with him are bombarding the airwaves in swing states in an effort to make up lost ground against Vice President Kamala Harris. NPR's Domenico Montanaro has more.
In just the past month, the two sides have spent $500 million on campaign ads, most of that to try and define Harris in the eyes of swing voters. And with Harris taking the lead in recent polling in the blue wall states of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, and closing the gap entirely in the Sunbelt states of Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, and North Carolina, Trump allies are now outspending Team Harris in four of the seven states. The most money has been spent, not surprisingly, in Pennsylvania, $100 million overall, followed by Michigan and Georgia, and even North Carolina, where Trump had a fairly significant lead against President Biden, is now starting to see a significant investment. Domenico Montanaro, NPR News, Washington.
Vice President Kamala Harris's presidential campaign is rejecting Republican rival Donald Trump's assertion. Two sides have agreed to muted microphones at the September 10th presidential debate on ABC. Meanwhile, Harris and running mate Tim Walz have agreed to a joint interview with CNN this Thursday. Federal appeals court says Florida can begin enforcing a ban on gender-affirming care for minors. More from NPR's Greg Allen.
The 2-1 ruling by the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals lifts a permanent injunction issued by a U.S. district judge in June, a month after the measure was signed into law by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. In his ruling, Judge Robert Hinkle found the restrictions were motivated by prejudice against transgender people and violate their equal protection rights. The appeals court says Judge Hinkle was mistaken in his analysis and lifted the injunction, clearing the way for Florida to enforce the ban on gender-affirming care for minors. A spokesperson for the governor notes DeSantis predicted the appeals court would allow Florida's law to go forward after it took similar action on an Alabama law earlier this year. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
On Wall Street, stocks gained ground today. The Dow was up 9 points. The Nasdaq rose 29 points. This is NPR. At least two towns in Massachusetts are urging residents to stay home after dusk. That's to try and prevent more cases of dangerous mosquito-borne illness. NPR's Ping Wong has more.
Eastern equine encephalitis, or triple E. Health officials consider it one of the deadliest mosquito-borne diseases in North America. Massachusetts reported their first human case in 4 years. Catherine Bown, who is the state epidemiologist, says the risk of getting triple E continues through September and maybe beyond.
Some risk from mosquito-borne disease will continue until the first hard frost.
Triple E disease is spread by mosquitoes that favor freshwater hardwood swamps, found in New England, as well as the Atlantic and Gulf Coast states and around the Great Lakes. Human cases have also been found in Vermont and New Jersey this year, and evidence of the virus in mosquitoes, birds, or other animals has been found in several other states. Ping Huang, NPR News.
As the U.S. Open gets underway this week with more than a million fans expected, the game's leaders say they're being forced to confront a much faster-growing sport than tennis, pickleball. The games are both played on a court with a racket, but pickleball has seen a participation boom in the past 3 years, up 223% in terms of popularity and participation. Now the U.S. Tennis Association, apparently not to be left behind, is countering with its own short court version of tennis. It's calling red ball tennis. Backers are promoting it as an easier way to get into the tennis sport. Crude oil futures prices closed lower today, oil down 89 cents a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News, in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the estate of Jane Gross, whose bequest supports NPR's commitment to creating a more informed public by distributing programming that meets the highest standards of public service and journalism. This is NPR.
pianist Miki Yamanaka on KPR, her tune of Fake Hero, opening up tonight's Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio. From her 2018 album debut called Miki, Bill Stewart, the drummer, Orlando Fleming, bass, vibraphonist Steve Nelson, pianist Miki Yamanaka. I'm Bob McWilliams, your host for Jazz in the Night, and late last week found out that the brilliant guitarist Rosa Malone died while on tour in Japan with Ron Carter. Rosa, only 60 years old, taken from us by a heart attack. And what a brilliant musician and lovely beyond words human being, Russell Malone. We'll hear from Russell in about 8-9 minutes here on KPR's Jazz in the Night. Support for Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio comes from KU Theater and Dance, featuring KU students in musicals, comedy, contemporary drama, and dance, staged at Murphy Hall. Season lineup and tickets at KUTheater.com. Here's new music from San Francisco Bay Area for tenor saxophonist Patrick Wolf, the album Bay Blue, and Patrick calls his tune Cool Stones on KPR.